This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100.
This is the Mindy Molina Show, and Mindy is live with me, Frank, on air today to discuss the first four chapters of her book, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. She's a published author through Westbo Press, and her book is available at Amazon and several publications. Her second book, Born to Fight, along with her first ever investment book, not yet titled. Mindy's been working toward building a division of our business, and this business, Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance, to not be a part of the world's digression into ESG, DEI, and the descent into a world economy without regard for its creator, the triune God of the Bible, but to offer the American people like-minded values and beliefs, an avenue to invest their money in a profitable way that does not support or fund companies with political objectives that do not align with ours. Mindy's newest approach reflects a stance against the concentration of financial power in the hands of a few major institutional investors, with emphasis on providing an alternative to institutions that use middle-class Americans' money to push their political agenda, not only in your personal wealth management, but in your retirement accounts like 401ks, 403bs. Pray for our team as we collaborate to make Mindy's vision a reality for all. We will continue to bring you updates and opportunities as they develop. We've never used our show to promote her book before, but we decided this series would be a great way to end the year and prepare our hearts for the year to come and to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. If you can't be excited about Jesus this time of the year, you might need to check your heart. We said Merry Christmas, and the rest of the story is
Easter.
Happy Easter. When someone says Merry Christmas, you say Happy Easter. That's the rest of the story. Christmas really doesn't have meaning because he came to die for me and for you and for the world, for our sins.
Yeah, Frank has been sharing that with me. And on my Christmas card, Tim saw it. He said, it says Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. I said, yeah, it's a two for one. But and then I explained to him what you've been, you know, putting.
Yeah, it's my favorite saying.
Yeah,
I love to share it with people.
Frank's favorite saying. And it's so true. You know, our Lord and Savior was born. And on Easter, he rose from the dead. Like, how amazing. You're right.
That was the purpose of his coming. Christmas was that God wanted to become man to make us right with him. It's the most amazing story ever in the history of our planet, for sure. In the most significant event ever, that God would be fully man and a baby in a manger. Oh, my.
Well, we are going to celebrate this this season by doing the series on this book, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. And I wrote this book several years back, and I haven't wrote another until recently, which will be, like Frank said, released next year. And what was it, 2017?
It's 2017, yeah.
2017. So a lot has happened since then, and I've never done anything to promote my book. I just let God do what he needed to do with it. I passed it out at a couple funerals, believe it or not. One was a drug overdose by a wonderful girl who I love dearly. She was my neighbor. And actually, when I was writing this book, had a lot of her in my heart as an inspiration, or maybe someone that I might be writing to who was struggling and through a really dark time. And so it was really sad that I never got to hand it to her, because unfortunately, the very first package of books that I got in the mail, I passed out at her funeral to her friends and family. But anyways, so special shout out to her because I love her. She's with the Lord now, but now we get to spread God's love, because this was the message I wanted her to know, is that God loves you and there's nothing anyone can do about it, including you, right? Like, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And sometimes that's really hard to believe. It's hard to believe for ourselves. And then for some of us, it's hard to believe that about other people. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to believe. And it's hard to believe the power that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And nothing explains it better than the scripture.
Amen. Okay? That's right.
And when I asked Frank what he thought about the book, he said, it's a lot of scripture. And I thought that
can't
was
go wrong with the word of
that
God.
Was a great compliment because that's exactly what I wanted it to be, is breaking it down and you seeing it for yourself. I know sometimes conquering the Bible is intimidating, and this could be a really good introduction. And if you read this book, I think you won't feel intimidated to take on the next.
That's right. No, yeah, it's a very good outpouring of the scripture and in relation. And you know, you mentioned that that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And to go along with the title of your book, now Romans 8 ends with that verse that lists all the things that have no power to separate us from the love of God, and you know, I've heard explained that Romans 8 for many.
So it's funny. You're talking about Romans 8, but guess what? That's the verse where I got saved. And that's the second page. It's on the second page of this book. So
yeah, it's like the mountaintop of scripture, though. Like some people, if they only. I heard this one. I read in this book where he asked all these famous theologians and pastors, what would. If you had one chapter in the Bible, which chapter would you want? And. Mm-hmm. Romans 8.
It was a game changer for me, for sure.
Power.
So I'll start with kind of my own story, which is where the book starts. But the very first page of the book, the preface. So I'm not
preface,
sure.
Preface, preface. Depends on preface, where you're from.
I don't know. I'm still not too sure what that means.
The part before.
This is where the editor comes in and makes everything look nice. But this is a verse, Isaiah 61:1. And just to let you know, this is Jesus. When he first began his public ministry, he went into his hometown synagogue. He pulled out the above passage in Isaiah and he read it aloud. And these words set the tone for what was to become of him and his life, to preach good tidings to the meek, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty and freedom. And Frank was adding a tidbit to that. So before I read it, I would like for you to add a little more information on that setting and what was happening.
Well, yeah, and so those scriptures are usually pulled out. The tradition of synagogue readings are the scriptures are picked ahead of time. And so if someone is there and they're asked to read, so there is some possibility that he didn't pick it himself. He was actually there. It was the scripture that was picked, and he fulfilled it in the hearing of their ears in the moment of his reading, and he's declaring his public ministry. It's a very powerful. That scene is in The Chosen, too. Oh,
yes.
By the way, it's a powerful scene. It's a really good one.
And so then you added,
he stops,
right?
Because the following verses in Isaiah talk about him in control physically on the earth, which he is not yet.
So in this moment, he stops. He doesn't read that second part
because
of the prophecy.
Yes,
because he's not fulfilled it. But this
the
is
the second
how,
part of the verse is not fulfilled yet. That's right.
This is how Jesus begins his ministry. Up to this point, he's not started ministering to the world.
It's the power of the word of God.
So let me read this to you. And for those of you who've ever thought you're not good enough for God, listen to what he proclaims right from the get-go, okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto who? The meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Yeah, he's not talking about physical prisons.
Yes, yeah, he's talking about struggling.
Spiritual bondage.
Spiritual, yeah, and you know that part where Satan wants to keep you down, keep you suppressed, and keep you believing that you're not good enough, that your children aren't good enough, that your family's not good enough, that your friends aren't good enough, or that maybe Jesus is too good for you. This is not what he proclaimed. He didn't say, I came to reward the perfect and the social elites. I didn't come here to bless
those who don't have anything
Frank and
wrong
Mindy.
In their life.
That's not what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah 61:1. And that's how it started.
You could find that verse in Brother David, the station manager. Thank you so much, David, for your help. And we were trying to find it, and I couldn't pick it out without a better concordance in the Bible. So in Luke 4 is where you'll find this scripture. It's from 14 through 23. So Mindy read the verse that he read, but the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. So it was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. Then he rolled up the scroll. He reads the scripture from Isaiah 61 that Mindy read, and he rolled up the scroll in verse 20 here in chapter 4. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back, and the attendant sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, like Mindy said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And it's still fulfilled.
And so it begins. And I love it. I love Jesus. We know that I do. And people say, I guess I ask myself, like, why did I write this book? And what made me think that I was credible? Because the truth is, I never thought I was credible. I am not a scholar. This is why God gives me people like Frank, like David. I mean, he surrounds me with people that are just have so much more intellect than I do. I think I lead with my heart, and that gets me a long way. But I mean, the minds and the comprehension and memorizing verses and just being able to really recall scripture and know all these details, that's a gift that God gives me through other people. But to be able to write this book, the way I look at it is, no one is credible. Or this is how God put peace in my heart. No one is creditable. Okay? The Bible.
The Word of God.
You're never going to outwrite the Word. Okay? Yeah. You listen to God. I listened and I obeyed. That's why I wrote this book. I wrote this book because God told me to. And I knew.
Your heart was burdened that this peace, this liberty that you found through the power of God's freeing Spirit, that you wanted to share it with others.
I didn't want to do it. I was like a child cleaning their room.
But you wanted to share it with others. It was the burden of your heart that...
Yeah, it was a burden of my heart.
You didn't want to see others.
And I knew, I came to a point where I realized, hey, I'm not getting out of here without it. Like, I got to do it, or it's not going to go away.
Tenacious.
Made it happen.
Right?
Yes. So,
I love that word.
And I tried to figure out what was the purpose of the book. Like, what was the point? And that was really difficult for me, and it took a while. So what I had in my heart was to write 10
short
books.
Chapters.
Those eventually became chapters, and then it all came together in the end. And I was driving down the road, and this guy had a big sign, and he was going back and forth with his sign, you know, and it was something about God. But we were in conversation, and the conversation went around to, if you were holding a sign, what would you want it to say? What would your sign say? And without thought, I spoke the words, God loves you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And immediately knew that was the title and that I had a book. And I went rushing home, and I started putting it all together and realized
I'd written a book. So where were you now again, and how old were you? You recall?
I was...
Where were you, and how old were you?
I was a mom...
So you had a couple kids?
30, yeah, I had just had a baby. Actually, I wrote the book through my second pregnancy. First kid and second pregnancy. It took me some time.
You were in Florida?
I was in Florida, yes. And this was kind of my maternity leave. That's what I call it. This is what God made me do when I was pregnant and supposed to be home resting and all of that. But I made it happen, and I'm grateful because I know that lives have been touched. And I have felt God's... I will say affirmation in my heart. You'll never know the impact of your work. I'll never know the impact of this.
Yeah, God just wants us to be faithful, to be a witness.
I just did my part, and now God does the rest. So,
Mindy, I want to say to you now, I think with the title of your book and the way you've explained it too, from the very beginning, you know, your heart is what you're saying with the title of the book is that, look, God loves you, right? And there's nothing you could do about it. And so no matter what's in your heart, what's going on in your life, yeah. whatever brokenness you're dealing with.
And I think, Frank, there a key word is not it's God loves you and there's nothing anyone
that's
can
what
do about
I,
it. Because we want to say God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. But the truth is so many people are separated from God because what others have told them.
Or their own shame, their own guilt.
Yeah.
And so what I want to say to you, from the beginning, when mm-hmm. man first sinned, God saw mankind. He saw Adam and Eve and he approached them. You know, Adam. You know, he was looking for Adam because he walked with Adam in the cool of the garden in Genesis 2 and 3. You can read those verses. God, you know, many people picture God and they fear him. They fear him or they don't know what to think about God. But God is the one pursuing us. If you have any inkling, just turn, read the scriptures, read John.
So one of these things Mindy's you brought book. Up, Romans 8, right? So let's go to that because one of the points I've obviously wanted to make is the whole credibility thing, but at some point you just have to submit to the Lord. And then the other thing was the Bible. And it's like, how do you write something when you're writing about the Word? And this book is of no comparison. You know, the Word is the living Word. And I believe that you could read the Bible over and over for the rest of your life. You'll never peel back all
That's
the
right.
layers of that onion. But what I do want to make clear is I think the point ultimately what is wrapped up in Romans, and this is 8:37 through 39. So Romans 8:37 to 39, if it's compiled of random thoughts, this book, right, is compiled of random thoughts and messages that have been on my heart, coupled with some scriptures that I think are crucial for us to understand. We must know what Jesus was teaching us along with how we ought to be as Christians. And if I had to sum it up with one verse, it would be this one. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come.
That's right.
Nor height, there's no height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
And I
preach
didn't
it,
say,
sister.
That is in the Bible. And I mean, if you can think of anything you've done or someone else has done or where you are in life or where you've been or where you might end up, I think he just covered it.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
He covered it. All things present, things in the past, things to come, no height, no depth.
No demon.
There's no demon. There's no principalities. There's no evil power
that can hold you.
There's no curse. There's no deal you've made that it can separate you,
if you
from the love of God,
and
which
confess.
Is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is in the Word. Okay. I didn't write that part. And then the other thing, and you know, that's kind of for like people that maybe struggle to believe or don't have an understanding of where they are. But there's also people that do believe. And there's a big part of this book. This book is almost like a double effort, right? One is to help someone that has been confused or doesn't understand to come to an understanding of and to walk through the Word and understand what Jesus is trying to teach us and then and who he was and what he is for you. But then also reminding Christians, hey, sometimes we're too controlling. Our expectations are too high. We have too many social standards that we're trying to press into Jesus standards,
and it becomes misconceptions, right?
Misconceptions, and we can become a little more in our own mindset versus Jesus. And
That's
I
right.
think it's a good reminder of God's love and the power of forgiveness, the power of love, the power that's in Jesus Christ. So that's
Mindy,
where I
want to say to you that, you know, you mentioned how, you know, you are just a human vessel in coming up with the words, and how can you compare the words that you write, you know, alongside the scripture, and you had this humility, this meekness or feel about that. But guess what? God used humans just like you, just like me, to write those words.
Right.
He filled them with his spirit. This is the power of the word of God.
Oh, it's true. And I'll be honest, like sometimes, well, the first time I read this book when it came out and they sent me the thing like this, you know, and I was reading it and I was just like, I did not write that. Like, I still blows my mind. I read it. And I think, but it's, I mean, I know I did, but I also know that there's a lot of help from the Lord. And that, okay. So one of the things for me, so talking about being a Christian, and one of the other goals for this book is I wrote, as a Christian, it's easy to be swayed away from the scriptures and the original messages that Jesus taught us. This book is a good reminder of our purpose here on earth at a time in the world when we are divided. It is so important for the Christians of the world to be reminded of what God expects of us. It is a crucial time for us to be on our best behaviors as the world is watching. Mm-hmm. We must remember who we represent and what, and we must represent him to the best of our abilities. It is my hope that this book will be an awakening to all Christians, an awakening and a reminder that Jesus and his way is the right way and the only way. And my point is that, yes, being on good behavior, that doesn't just mean good deeds and
from a right heart,
right,
is most important.
But how we interact in the world and how we share his love and how we promote his forgiveness. Yeah. And
it's important,
and are we out producing fruit in the world, or are we building walls in the world? And what is that fruit? That fruit is helping other people be led to salvation, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you do that?
You walk in the spirit.
You don't just go through life saying please and thank you and going to bed at night.
No,
that's not going
to be.
You can be the best behaved person in the planet and never save one soul. Right? So it's important for us to understand what our purpose is.
Yeah, before Jesus ascended into heaven, the great commission, the famous great commission at the end of Matthew, is to go into all nations and teach. So if you don't, you got to know the gospel message. You got to understand the word of God and be able to share it with others. To your point, that was Jesus's commission to his disciples, to the apostles, and to us, to be faithful witnesses, to teach the nations and to baptize them.
Well, here we are, Frank. High five to us. We're giving it our best shot.
So again, so this could be a good Christmas gift. So we're on the air. This is a live program. This is the Mindy Molina Show you're listening to on WCNO. And Mindy and I, and I'm Frank, we're talking about Mindy's book today, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. You can pick up this book on Amazon. It's a Westbow Press publishing and other places. So it might be a good gift for you to share with others. And if you'd like to call in with some questions or maybe a prayer request or thoughts, please feel free. You can call us at the station here at 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And if you'd like to set an appointment with us, you can find us at mindymolina.com.
Yeah, we can talk about money or God, whatever you want to talk about. Talk about the weather. My 7-year-old now, he's really into checking the weather. I don't know where this came from, but every 20 minutes, he's got to see what the weather's doing on his phone, you know? I'm like, okay. It was snowing in New York, he told me earlier.
So we were trying to do a chapter every 15 minutes, but that's okay.
We're going to get through it by the end of the year. That's what matters.
Okay.
So
we got the preface down.
We got the preface down. And one of the things, so this first chapter is called Christian Confusion. And talk about confused, right? So as a young girl, this is kind of a walk in my own journey and uncovering really the truth, okay? And in overcoming some ideas and confusions that I personally experienced that was keeping me from what we call becoming saved, okay? Really understanding the power of Jesus Christ. And why did I have these confusions? Well, because of things I'd heard or been told, or there was always a miscommunication, or maybe I was misunderstanding. But I think it's important to know these are the things, these are the hurdles I had to get through.
Right. There can be a lot of them. It can be, you know, you can hear a very detailed theological gospel presentation and your mind goes all over the place. But
yeah. Well, I mean, I would sum it up in one way. Walk the line. Like, you have to walk the line if you're going to be saved. So one of the things, well, first of all, I'll tell you my story of having my revelation, and I was, and I have to give all the credit to my oldest brother, Shafter, who just really dug into the word and just really started studying, started going to Bible studies, and just like sometimes, I don't know, we would say became obsessed with it, right?
My older brother's responsible for my salvation, too.
Those big brothers are good to have.
Yeah, amen. God gives them to us. Yeah.
Amen. So, yeah, I went to this Bible study with him. And I went to church every Sunday, almost every Sunday, with my grandmother. And if you've heard my message about legacy planning, it's on YouTube, you can watch it. But I tell the story of how going to church with grandma would get me out of work on the farm. And so I was all about going
motives.
To church.
That's yes. some ulterior motives there. That's
so
okay.
I went to church with her. And plus it was company for her. And I loved the Lord. I wanted to be there. And I had a bus that would come and pick me up every Sunday and take me to church. And when there for a while and was part of youth groups, I was in the FCA. I was very involved and wanted a relationship with God, but I wasn't ready to give my heart to the Lord or become saved because I had these drawbacks. And until this one Bible study, I went with my brother, and they call it rightly dividing the word, and they laid it out, and it was in Romans that I didn't get it in that moment. But that night, I was driving home, September 18th, 1997. I remember the very moment. I remember everything about it. And I was driving down this gravel road, and it just clicked. Like a light went off, and I finally got it. The beginning, the end.
That burden fell off your back?
There's nothing I'm ever going to do.
To earn your salvation.
To earn my salvation, or to lose it.
Or to lose it.
There's Amen. Nothing. This is a gift.
It
this is a
That's
gift.
Right.
This is what
Amen.
Grace is. This is a gift. I didn't pay for it.
You didn't earn it.
Yeah. I didn't earn it. I'm not going to be denied of it. It has been given to me for the taking. I just have
we
to take it.
We don't even deserve it.
And it was just like all of this stuff. This newfound relationship happened. And it's a wonder I didn't crash. I just was like, whoa, you know? All opened
this was
up.
In Kentucky.
This was in Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
Indiana, over
Same
on
thing.
The road. Yeah,
no.
I could go back to that very spot. But it's just so powerful. And I have had freedom in my heart. Like, there's no question in my mind, like, when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. And that there's not been a question about that since September 18th, 1997. Never questioned it since.
But you went through some machinations. They said that's a fancy word there. But you were wrestling with thoughts, with ideas, all this Christianese words
right.
you had been hearing. And a lot of people may struggle with that. And that's why it's so important to
let's
use
walk
the word
those.
Of God. Yeah.
The first one is that Christians cannot sin. Okay? So I hear
it's a misconception.
Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Right?
Yeah.
Turn from your sin. This is what, so for me, that meant, okay, straighten up, you know, and then what happens if you don't, right? So backsliding, that was always a really big fear for me. Yeah. And so I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. What I didn't believe in was myself. I'm like, there is no way I'm going to make it to the end of my life and never sin. Mm. I just didn't believe in my ability. Not that I was like trying to do anything bad.
Right.
I don't have this, you know, bad to good story. I just didn't believe that I was good enough, and
right.
nor should anyone. But go ahead. Were you going to say something?
That's okay. There's some Christianese out there, the theologies that believe that you can, if you're not, if you die with unconfessed sin, you won't make it to heaven. There is theology out there, and some sects of people who call themselves Christians. I don't believe that we can find that in the Word of God personally.
So what I have found in the Word for myself personally
That's right.
Is that we all, spelled A-L-L, don't know if you're familiar with that word, but A-L-L, we all fall short.
That's right.
We all sin.
That's right.
Okay? We all need forgiveness. That's what I found out. So even this is Romans 3, 22 through 26.
Roman road. Yes.
Roman. Yeah. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, the righteousness of God, which is by faith.
By faith.
Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe.
That believe. That's right.
The righteousness of God.
Right. Not ours.
Is
not
available.
Our righteousness. It's his.
It's his. And that's it's available right. By faith.
By faith. That's right.
So if
faith.
You want to be righteous, you need to have faith.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Faith is impossible without God.
And
without faith, it is impossible to please God.
So is righteousness, for me,
yeah, we don't
is
have
impossible.
It. But he puts it in us.
He puts it in us by faith. And that's what it says in
but
Romans.
But he does put his righteousness.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So
amen.
Having faith in Jesus Christ unto A-L-L. All.
Oh, that's right, because we can never
all of
earn
you,
our salvation.
All of me, all of us, there's no one
Amen.
Excluded, and upon who? All, A-L-L. God gets it out with A-L-L. Okay,
yeah.
All, them that believe, for there is no difference.
Yeah. You know, the famous John 3:16 verse about salvation, there's no, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. These are Jesus' words, that whoever believes in him will have... We'll have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Like, there's no qualifiers.
Yes.
There is no qualifier. Are
Why?
No qualifiers.
Why? Because of what the rest of this verse says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
Being justified.
Justified.
Freely.
That's right. Just as if I never sinned.
Justified. Like, look. God realized Jesus is.
This is the Christmas message.
Yeah. Mm, he's paying it. For our. We're. He is taking the
because we couldn't pay
for our sins away.
Only
right.
A sinless God could pay for our sins. And
being
the sins
justified
of the world.
Freely.
That's that just
freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the most powerful line, and that is the one that hit me when it finally registered. So I'm going to read it to you again, and I pray it hits you. Being justified how? Freely. Free. Free. Okay? Freely, being justified freely, why? By his grace.
Grace, God's
he
grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, in case you ever heard that, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense, if
oh,
you
that's
want a
beautiful.
Definition
yeah.
of grace.
Grace, I love that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God,
that's
being
right.
justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, Christ
he
Jesus.
He redeemed us.
Redeemed. Whom God hath set forth to be appropriate.
Propitiation.
Thank
yeah.
you, Frank. See these scholars I got? Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
Right.
To declare, I say, at this time, this righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of okay. him which believeth in
yeah.
Jesus.
Right. So what you're reading now is a legal proclamation. Paul outlines the legal framework for the redemption of mankind. This is the theology of Romans. In the Christian theology is that the legal framework for the universe, only God could pay the price for the sins of mankind. And it's at no cost to us.
Right. And so you know,
we have to believe and confess and walk.
So for me, I struggle with this, I almost call it like a distraction of sin. You know,
yeah.
I believe sin is such a wedge, and it starts to build that wall.
This is what happens, though, but you have a new nature. So that's the thing. And when you have the new nature, when you become a Christian, the old nature doesn't go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have two natures.
That's why
you
I don't
have
to
natures.
Believe in myself
this
anymore.
This is what the Bible teaches.
I am not perfect. I am living my...
You're not?
I'm what is it? YOLO or something? What is it? Living your best life?
I don't know.
I forget. Anyways, it'll come to me. But anyways, I am having a great time in life. And I am living, and I'm not trying to do anything bad or wrong, but I'm not looking over my shoulder for every, I don't want to be, certainly don't want to be someone that corrupts somebody's life. I want to be great, and I want to do everything that I can to set a good precedent for the Lord and for my children and everyone else around me. However, Jesus, you know, thank you, because there have been many times when I've messed up and
just
I've
like
moved
all
on,
of us.
But I'm not allowing that to hold me back or hold me down or make
yeah.
me think that I'm not good enough. I already know I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
The Bible told me so. Mm-hmm. Right? It already told me I wasn't good enough, and I'm okay with that. I'm putting all my chips on Jesus.
Right. Yes, so, yes, yes, yes.
I'm good with that.
But we're not saying, though, I think, too, I'm with you, but too, if you have sin, you know, I'm just speaking broadly to the world of Christianity, if you have something in your heart that you know is not right, then you should confess it and repent. It's not just, you can build barriers and obstacles in your life for allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and in you if you allow unconfessed sin in your life to build up, especially.
Well, I'm so looking for it, there is the verse. Maybe, David, you can find it. And so, he does say, so what then? Should you just go and
on sinning? Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sinning?
That's,
no.
Yeah, it's a Roman. That's
and you know
Roman,
what happens so. To you? As soon as you accept Jesus, you put all your chips on Jesus, and you realize, hey, I'm good. Yeah. You become very grateful. You don't.
You should, yes. You
become
should.
Grateful.
You
and should. It doesn't mean that you don't have, what is it? Like, you don't feel condemned. They don't feel sad or bad about the mistakes you make. But God wants you to pick it up and go forward. Keep going forward.
Are you walking with him?
Walk with him. And you're forgiven. Let's move forward. The Holy Spirit is going to help you through those.
And so being
times.
Rooted in the world, he does, in the word, he does expect us to mature in our faith and to grow. I mean, the longer you live the Christian life, Paul talks about the race, running the race. You want to run.
Well, I think my point in this, and then go on to the second confusion, is this. If I believed, okay, so this is me as a seventh grader thinking, I better not do this whole Jesus bit until I'm on my deathbed. Hopefully.
Some people, they call that fire insurance.
I don't die in like a car crash or get shot by a random bullet, and that I have time to repent.
Right, because that was, so God, that's.
If I had that mindset, there's a really good chance other people have that thought too. And what I just want to say is that's not the right way.
That's Jesus, a misconception,
it's
right?
It's a misconception. And you are forgiven from the beginning to the end.
That's bondage. You're in bondage. That's a lie.
Yes,
that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. God expects you to move on with your faith and let him work through us.
I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. There's no okay up till now. There's not that. You're forgiven because you are forgiven because of what Jesus did, not because what you did or didn't do or are going to do or not going to do. You are saved because of him. Period.
Because of him, yes. Now, we're still, this is a live program. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. Mindy and Frank are here in the station. And this is, again, the Mindy Molina Show. We're talking about Mindy's book today. Mindy's a published author. The title of her book might be a Christmas gift that you could lay on your heart that you might want to give to someone. The title of the book is God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. You can find it on Amazon. And we're going through the chapters today. And you can reach Mindy or I. We work together. We're dual licensed fiduciary, completely independent financial advisors here in Stuart. And you can find us at MindyMolina.com for no cost, no fee consultation appointments with Mindy and I. And we are hoping to hear from you.
So, Frank, read confusion number two. Just if you want to quote me, this is a really good quote. Okay.
Right from the beginning there?
Yeah, right from the beginning until the end sentence on the second page.
Okay. Confusion number two. This is from Mindy's book in chapter two. You must repent. This is a confusion. You must repent or ask for forgiveness every time you sin. If you don't and then you die, you go to hell. If you want to get Christians fired up, just get a bunch of them together and ask about this one. There is such a division over whether or not you have to ask for forgiveness every time you sin. I say no. You are forgiven forever, forever sealed in the book of life. God accepted you the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as a real life person who was the Son of God, who currently sits in heaven next to God, who was hung on a cross, beaten, stabbed in the side with a sword, and crucified, who went to hell and who rose from the dead, and so that you and I and the rest of the world could be forgiven for our sins.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's true. The only sin that you can't be forgiven for is the Holy Spirit's witness that you didn't accept the Christ, that Jesus, This is the Bible. I think there, I believe there's Jesus' words from the New Testament there. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life that God is God. Jesus died for your sins. The gospel message that the Son of God came and died for you, and you choose not to believe it. That's the unforgivable sin.
And I think freedom comes in accepting it and being having power. Power over Satan is that. Is being able to say, no. Because
guilt.
He seeks to destroy us. He seeks to trick us, manipulate us. He's looking to, you know, get us off track. That's never going to end. However, when you have this power...
Not in this life. It will end one day.
Yes, but but you know that we are constantly faced with sin. We're constantly distracted.
Every day.
We have
That's
it.
Right.
So don't let that take power over who you are or weigh you down with your relationship with God. You know, pick up and keep
going. You got to have the word. You got to have the word on you because it's the only
it's
offensive
the
armor in the armor of God is
we'll
the word of God.
Some more chapters about that too. So,
got to have the word.
Confusion number three. Oh, this one was always good. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I never understood the whole blood thing. Okay. And I think for some, I mean, I've had friends that are atheists or that just maybe they're not atheists, but they just don't have any knowledge or awareness. And they're just like, like what? Like, it just sounds a little morbid and creepy. And I think one of the things is understanding that a long time ago, that is how blood was a part of
crucified. At the beginning, Adam and Eve tried to, when their first mankind sinned, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and hid from God because they were naked. And it was not, man was trying to cover his own weed. This is man's nature. Our human nature is to try to cover our sin instead of confessing and repenting it. When God said, Adam, where are you? He just was trying to get Adam to recognize his disobedience to his word.
So this is why the crucifixion.
He had to kill some, though, to finish the thought that God provided clothes of skin and blood had to be shed.
In order for them to be
covered. For them to be covered.
So I think to get a real or like a true, maybe even deeper understanding of what it means to be, you know,
washed in the blood. Power. Wonder
being
working
freed,
power.
Set freed of your sin, forgiven of your sin, and just how powerful it is from that level. This is the verse, John 8:7-30, okay? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Basically, you're lying to yourself. Get over it already. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins.
Got to confess.
Confess, right? I'm a confessor. You haven't got that by now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. That's John 8:7-30. So who wants to be washed in the blood of anything? I mean, I don't. But the above scripture refers to the blood of Jesus Christ. On the cross, the soldier pierced Jesus' side and he bled. That blood was an atonement for our sins. A sacrificial necessity, I guess.
Legal. It's the legal transaction. Legal transaction.
Binding. And,
binding, absolutely.
You can read more about it in the Bible.
That's absolutely right.
However, my point is that when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus and his sacrifice for your sins, when you believe that Jesus did it to pay the debt of your sins, a spiritual intervention happens.
Absolutely.
Your sins don't just go away. They get washed over with the blood of Jesus, and you appear perfect because you have been washed over with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Because he's worthy, Savior. He's a worthy
Savior.
Right and new.
All things beginning to end, okay? You are a new
creation.
You are a new creation. And I just think that's so powerful. And it's that's a nice light overview of how that works. Those are the confusions that I had to overcome, and I hope that helps you a little bit, too.
Oh, that was chapter one still.
That was chapter one.
Moving in.
I'll finish chapter one with this verse. This is Romans 8 through 1 through 8, okay, which I think is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to say, it's like you become that new creation. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Frank probably remembers that. Some of you younger people might not. But Young Guns. Do you remember Young Guns? And there's the scene where they're going, they've eaten the peyote and these cowboys, and they're going through the desert, and they're in like this Indian village. And the one guy says to the other, why aren't they killing us? And he said, we're in the spirit world. They can't see us. And I always think about that as a, I guess, explanation of being washed in the blood and being new, is that we live in the spirit world, right? Like we're not, I no longer feel the burden of the worldly challenges, okay? Overcoming stuff. Why? Because I already know spiritually where I stand.
Mindy, I think too, another way to understand that is when you have this thought to do something kind or to do something good for others, like, do you think that thought originated with you? It's God. This is how God speaks in the still small voice.
Right.
And so, as long as those thoughts and those actions that you're being driven and compelled to do not contradict the word of God, you can be assured that God is speaking through your life. Like if you're a Christian and you have a thought, I should bake the neighbor a loaf of bread. Well, God's telling you to bake a loaf of bread and take it to your neighbor.
Right. So it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So I'm going to read this last part. The following verse somehow brought it all together for me 18 years ago. Well, more.
At the writing, five.
I came to this realization that all this saved business and being a Christian was about being set free from the laws of this world and living for the spiritual world.
That's right.
Seems kind of crazy, but read this passage over and over until you get it. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us and with us always. We are with him already. We have been protected from our sins and made spiritually perfect. Meanwhile, this body, our flesh, and this life are doomed to failure. In the flesh, here on earth, we are not able to live up to God's standards, the biblical laws that came before Christ. Therefore, we have to cling to the Spirit of Jesus Christ and look beyond this world, this life, and these failures. They will die off, but we will live eternally with Jesus Christ. So this is Romans 8, 1 through 8. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
There's two natures. Mm-hmm.
Because the carnal mind is enmity.
Hatred, yeah.
Against God, hatred against God. Mm. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
That's why I live in the spirit world, baby. Is that okay? Poor David and Frank, they are just like... But
that's the challenge.
It's the power. It is the power. And that is the freedom. The freedom is living in your spiritual.
This is the gospel message.
Yes.
Right?
This is not something that I made up. This is something that I came to realize.
This is God's message. Yes. This is God's message.
God's message. We are already there. We are spiritually connected.
This is the Christmas message, by the way.
Amen. Amen.
The true Christmas message.
It is. Don't live in the carnal flesh, like this worldly thing.
Goodness gracious, I hope you're living for something other than your flesh.
Amen. Because you're not pleasing God if you're only concerned about this. God wants you to live with him now. in the spiritual connection.
All the time. Amen. Yes, indeed.
So those are my confusions that I had to overcome. And again, a lot of scripture.
That's great.
Else is going to tell you but the Lord?
Yeah. So we're still here live at the Mindy Molina Show.
Melvin added, Jesus was the last blood sacrifice. His blood was the purest blood of all sins. Amen.
Mindy's reading live
exactly
from the
right.
Facebook Live.
Yes, from the
this
Facebook.
Is a Facebook Live if you want to join on Facebook Live. We're reviewing Mindy's book, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. You can find the book on Amazon. You know, this is Mindy's business is the Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance. You can find us at MindyMolina.com. Frank, Mindy, and I work together as dual licensed fiduciary and financial advisors here in Stuart. Feel free to, you can book an appointment with us at MindyMolina.com. All those appointments are free, no cost. And Mindy is going to put out a new book in the new year, Fighting.
Born to Fight.
Born to Fight in the new year. So where she's hasn't popularized or publicized this book much. And so that's what we're doing, finishing this year, going through her book, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. You can find it on Amazon. And you want to where you want to go from here?
Yeah. So this second chapter that we're going to cover, probably the last one for today's show.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 2, I Hold the Power.
I hold the power. So, and of course, that power is in Jesus Christ.
It's God's power. Yeah.
God's power.
Mm-hmm.
And we just came from this whole spiritual realm talk, and I love it because I just think it's awesome. But that's where the power is, okay? Mm-hmm. The power. And when he says about the verse that we read about principalities.
Nothing can separate us.
There's nothing can separate us from the love of God. And
not anything.
I had a couple experiences in my life where have you ever just, it's like you're fighting a battle, and my next book is going to talk a lot about this, Born to Fight, and this is kind of a great segue for that, but you're, you know, some things that we have to overcome in life are just more than we can overcome, you know?
Yes,
and
that's right.
It's things that are out of your control, and then sometimes, you know, you just become attacked. And
who you're leaning on? Where are you going for your help?
Well, yes, and that's the revelation or the realization that I had was I was leaning on me, I was fighting my own battles, I was taking it on, and I was going toe to toe with the evil that comes against us, and trying to you're trying to rationalize, you're trying to make the best, and maybe this is something that you're dealing with your family, and I'll tell you something about the devil that I've learned is that. If he wants to really mess with you, he's not going to use a stranger. It's like, yeah, somebody can do something at the light, in the traffic. I mean, I've had my moments in road rage. But if he really wants to get to you, he's going to use the people that matter to you. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, people that matter, you know, mm-hmm. people in the band.
People that you loved and that you expect
that
to love.
People that you love. And that's how he's going to get to you. And overcoming those battles, the first thing you have to realize is that it's
you don't have
principalities.
The power.
Yeah. The more you fight it, the more you're just making it happy. That's the thing about they say if you hate something, you'll never get rid of it. Because that's what makes the devil happy. The more you have these burdens, the more you have these frustrations, the more he's going to come after you.
That's true.
This might be somewhere where David and Frank can help, but there's a verse that says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Yes, that's good. That's
okay.
Yeah.
One on the board for Mindy. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm talking about. The devil wants to fight. He wants you to have these fights.
Uh-huh.
The more you, like I tell my oldest
confused,
son, ignore your little brother and he'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
He can't. He can't. To save his life, he can't ignore him. Everything he does is like a tit for tat. But it's the same way in adult life. And when we're dealing with evil, the more it can taunt you, the more power you're giving it. And what I realized, okay, is I had these moments and I just, in the sense that I prayed, I was being attacked verbally over and over and over. And I gave up and I just started praying really shortly. And I just said, God, I can't. You have to handle this. And in that very moment, this person that was attacking me had these little sores pop up. I was like, oh, their mouth started hurting. And I got freaked out. I was like, whoa. Okay? And if you think that God can't protect you in that same way, that God can't eliminate evil like that, when you don't have that kind of power to him. You don't have that power. You can't win that fight.
To live in submission to God.
To live in submission and let him be God. Your champion.
That's right.
You know, if somebody wants to fight me, then I got a bodyguard going around, you know, or my guardian angel, and they can fight him. And I'm just going to put Jesus in the ring and be like, good luck.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah. I'm not getting in the ring with you. Yeah. Although we know that there are times that we all have our moments. But so I'm preaching to myself too, reminding myself. But so this is Ephesians 6:12. Do you have that one pulled up? I'll let you read it.
Okay, Ephesians 6:12.
In the top right
For
there.
We wrestle not, or you want to start from the...
No, you got it.
Yeah, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? And Jesus told us that Satan is the prince of the power of this world.
Yes.
Right? And this is why we know Jesus' kingdom is spiritual and it is power, like you're saying, but physically on the earth, mankind is choosing more evil than he's choosing, because that's what we see in the world.
And again, that spiritual place, right? Talking about the spirit world. And I love living in the spirit world. And guess what? In our spirit world that we live in,
this is reality,
on earth,
though,
right
is
now,
the thing. The spirit world is reality.
It is reality, but you're giving it to God and you're allowing the spiritual greatness that comes in the Lord, okay, to overcome those evil, wicked principalities that we don't have to subject ourselves to, nor do we have to allow our family to be subjected to them. I learned a long time ago, give it to God, pray. That's why Jesus says to Peter, I think, that Satan wishes to sift you like wheat, but I have put him in a headlock and, drug him outside and done all. Nope. What did he say?
He prayed for him.
I prayed for you.
That's what we should do for our enemies and for those people.
That is the power.
That's right.
That's what this chapter is about. So I will end it with this. And what is this is Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 19 through 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought in Christ when he was raised from the dead and set at his own right hand in heavenly places. So this is wrapping up our wonderful book. And I'm so glad I've been able to share it with you. I was really nervous about this, but I think it went really well. You can get it on Amazon. And I just want you to always know, I don't care who you are or who you know, God loves you. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. Amen. Be blessed. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
This goes out to every outcast, till they just don't quite fit in. Every wrong way, runaway rebel, so ashamed of where you've been. This goes out to every searcher, trying to fill that empty space. Well, your searching days are over now. Everything's about to change.